This is the place in Scripture, which is actually where the author to the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was reading when he reflected upon the Bible truths that he expresses in that beautiful hymn. This is the source, really, of that hymn in the book of Lamentations, a surprising place to find it, as we will see. Lamentations chapter 3, I will be reading verses 22 through 24. Please listen carefully. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. Here ends the reading of God's Word. May He bless it to us. Let's pray. Father, we do ask, as we turn to Your Word, that this would not be a mere exercise in spiritual devotion, but rather that we would be here in true faith, listening carefully to the eternal words of the Gospel as they are proclaimed to us, hearing the Word of Christ Himself speaking to each heart today. Help us to respond in faith so that the doorways to heaven would be swung wide open as we receive and believe the promise of the Gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ and members of the congregation here and friends and family of Edna, facing the reality of death is sad. It's difficult and painful. Death brings us to the point where we cry, and that's okay. And not only do we cry with tears in our eyes, but we cry out to God sometimes. And crying out to God is called a lamentation. And God loves us so much that He provides us a way to cry. And He teaches us in many places, including this entire book of Lamentations, how to cry, how to be a Christian and yet truly cry with a godly sorrow over trouble, even over sin and misery in this world, and yet, nonetheless, to be able to say, great is thy faithfulness. The grieving Christian today is comforted by God's great faithfulness. This is the main point we want to look at from our text. The grieving Christian is comforted by God's great faithfulness. From these verses we've looked at, we will see the need for God's faithfulness. We really need His faithfulness today and all times. Secondly, we'll look at how great it really is, the greatness of God's great faithfulness. And then lastly, we'll touch on the response that God gives to us as a command. We ought to respond in the same way the prophet does to God's faithfulness. We want to have this comfort today. Comfort of what? Why do we need comfort? Well, we need God's faithfulness. In the context of these bright words of rejoicing that God's mercies never fail, they're new every morning, great is thy faithfulness, this ray of sunlight comes into the midst of the darkness and shadows of some of the greatest disasters in all world history. Most of the book of Lamentations is very, very black and bleak and negative, speaking of how all the troubles that Israel had received and was receiving. And the trouble is not just those evil people out there. All of the trouble was caused primarily because of the evil of God's people. The rebellion of God's own children who didn't listen to their Sunday school teachers and their pastors and their elders and their parents, but did what they wanted to do. And God warned them again and again and said, you cannot continue in this generation after generation. And they said, so what? And they got the right kind of teachers and elders and Sunday school teachers and even the parents that would say different things, positive things that would uplift them and encourage them, even though they were ignoring real sin and danger in their life and in the world around them. And like stubborn sheep, each going astray in their own way, they wandered into the darkness and into destruction. And God, being a faithful Heavenly Father, could not let that continue. And so He disciplined them in love, and He took away their entire country, and He sent the Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar and others to wipe out the entire nation of Israel. And ever since that day, in 586 BC, Israel has never had their own nation blessed by God in that special way that the Bible has promised. And in that very dark time, there was no temple anymore. They couldn't worship. They couldn't know that their sins are going to be forgiven, because every stone is turned over on top of another. They're all a pile of rubble, and everybody's carried off in slavery. And in that dark time, the prophet Jeremiah lived, and he warned the people. And then when this happened, he cried out this lament, this cry in these troubles. He prayed for the people. He prayed to God, "Lord, we know we have sinned. We know the misery that has come upon us. And we know we need Your faithfulness." Well, 2,500 years have passed since Lamentations were first cried out to God, like what we first read today. Since one of God's people cried out, "Your compassions are new, we need them, lest we be consumed. Great is Your faithfulness." Do we still need God's faithfulness today, 2,500 years later? Today in our modern culture, have we grown beyond the need for God? If you look at our culture and look at the attitude of so many, of maybe even some of us, you'd have to say, yes, we've grown beyond that. We really don't need God's faithfulness. He's not really that big a deal to us. It's nice to have for nice, sweet old ladies to believe in. But nice, sweet old ladies weren't always old ladies. They were young people. They were unmarried one day. They were married. They had families. They went through all the stages in life. We need God's faithfulness at all the stages of life. Have we evolved past the point of sin and misery so that people basically love each other in our world today? Nobody really steals from others. We don't have to worry about shoplifters. Marriages and families are always strong and healthy and never torn apart by betrayal or divorce or rebellious children. And all of us freely give of our money and resources to anyone who might not have enough. This is the world in which we live, right? No, of course it is not. Anything like that. We live in a world full of sin and misery, just as, or at least in some ways, like that which Jeremiah lived in when he wrote the words of our scripture passage. What was Israel to do? They have sinned. There's misery and trouble in the world around them. They have financial disaster in their culture, even as we do. What would they do? They remembered that the Lord who sent all of these troubles upon them, He still will not consume them. Psalm 78, verse 38. Though there is trouble, they will not be consumed or eaten up by the trouble. Psalm 78, verse 38 says, "But God is full of compassion. He forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all of His wrath." You see, what you and I need as Christians today who mourn over a death, who mourn over the fact that every one of us is a sinner, who mourn over the fact, or ought to mourn, that say, you know what, as a child might say, "I've been naughty. I've been naughty toward God. I've not loved God as I ought to. I cannot meet God when I die. I cannot go to heaven because I've not been faithful enough." We should mourn over that fact, and we should realize I need faithfulness that I can't give, that I can't bring. Well, is there any faithfulness out there for us to get? Sometimes we feel so far away from God, and our troubles only make Him seem farther away. But as Christians, we know the world's not spinning out of control. God is holding it in His hands, directing the events that occur. And yet we wonder sometimes, is there a target on my back, God? All the trouble seems to be aimed at me. Indeed, even earlier in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah said, God, in verse 12, has bent his bow and set me up as a target for his arrow. He cried out and said, God, I am a target for the trouble you're sending. And yet he still would say a few verses later, the Lord's mercies are not consumed. His compassions do not fail. All the sin and evil in the world cannot stop God's mercies from being here too. God is faithful to us right in the middle of the trouble and the difficulty. Look at how God fulfilled this truth in his only begotten Son. We need faithfulness because we're all sinners who have violated every one of his commandments. Every one of us have done that. And so Jesus came and was faithful, obeying every one of those in our place, taking the shame and torture and wrath of God that we deserve on himself at the cross. The Bible is plain. God can't lie. He's not a liar. He's faithful. And that means he keeps his promises. There is a faithfulness you can have. God is faithful, and he gives his faithfulness to us. Edna knew that she needed God's faithfulness, and she knew that she had it. There were words that she repeated regularly when she came in to worship from Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Those words read this: Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. She knew Jesus is her faithfulness. What people in this world today need are not empty religious claims and ideas, but a real faith lived out by real Christians as they see that affecting our real life. In trying circumstances, we can have real peace even in those trials because we know we have God's faithfulness. We need it, and God is faithful to give it to us in all ways. And so that's what we see, secondly, not only the need for our faith, for faithfulness from God, but the greatness of God's faithfulness. The Lord's mercies are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness is great in number. Normally we would expect in the Bible to read about God's mercy, or his love, or his loving kindness, or compassion. But these words add a little S at the end of each of those. This is plural. There's more than one mercy. There's mercies. There's more than one compassion. There's compassions. God's got more than one kind of way to be loving kind, to show his loving kindness to you. And he never stops. There's one after another after another. God isn't stingy with his grace. Every one of the people who have gathered in the past day, and their families and the words and their presence and their love have been an example, one after another, of one of these blessings, of these kindnesses and compassions of God. Every day he surrounds us with so many things. Even as we say, count your many blessings, right? Count them one by one and you'll never run out. 10,000 beside the author of that hymn would add. After you've counted them all, there's still 10,000 more. The infinite number of God's blessings and greatness. But there's also a quality to God's faithfulness that is different, that makes it so great. For look at the quality of God's greatness. It says in verse 23 that his greatness is, his compassions are new every morning. They're new and fresh. They're not stale and dry. This isn't old-fashioned stuff. This is new and fresh. Who God is, the God who doesn't change, that's new and fresh for us today. Now, we all like getting new things. Maybe you know that famous NBA player Michael Jordan loved getting new things so much that every game he played, he wore a brand new pair of shoes for every game he played. And a reporter once asked him, why? I mean, did they really wear out since last night?
He said he just loved the way he felt in those new shoes. Now, if somebody can love the newness of something like that, how much more shouldn't we love and rejoice in the newness of God's blessings, which are new every morning, which are eternal blessings of all sorts that include things physical and spiritual, emotional. The Bible promises us that God may send weeping for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In Psalm 30, verse 5. God's greatness is great. It is new and fresh. And part of what's so great about God's greatness is that it's shown to ordinary people. To ordinary folks like you and me, and our friend Edna. God's greatness is great because He doesn't just save it for the popular, the powerful. He shows it to people who are sinners. With hearts that are dirty. Sinners who are saved by grace. To those whom He loves and cleans by His holy word. And every day, morning by morning, new mercies they see. This kind of ordinary Christian life and ordinary faith in an extraordinary God is exactly what drove the author of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, to comment and reflect on this passage. That author, his name was Thomas Chisholm, wrote 1,200 poems, but I bet you've never read any of the others. I haven't. I've just read this one. He's an ordinary fellow. Most of his life he was an insurance salesman. He was sick most of his life since his 30s, even though he died at age 93. And he talked about how he never had very much money because he had to spend all his money on medical care. And that was in the 1930s and 40s and 50s and 60s. And he died in 1960. And yet he wrote that he continued to rely and record God's continuing, unfailing faithfulness. God has given me many wonderful displays of His providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. Astonishing gratefulness. Edna knew about that too. God's astonishing greatness in the ordinary things of life. No doubt if you haven't said it yet, you've thought it or you will be thinking it soon. You've said it before. That there's a certain way you've got planned out as to how you would like to die. It includes no pain and probably falling asleep and not waking up, or waking up and you're in heaven and that's that. Unexpected. That hardly ever happens. For some people, you know about it, you know you're sick, you deal with one sickness after another, and you know it's coming, perhaps, maybe this time, maybe next, and there's pain and grief and waiting and sorrow, ordinary things, ordinarily painful things. How can a person endure such things? By remembering the greatness of God's faithfulness. By remembering the greatness of God's words again and again and again. His scriptures and the songs that she sung. And the words that she remembered from God's word. She remembered these things and they comforted her and gave her peace in the pain. How about you? What is your response? What is your response to God's great faithfulness? Do you declare with Christians of times past, "Great is your faithfulness, O God"? Do you declare with the prophet and the people of God in the middle of despair and disaster and misery, "Great is thy faithfulness"? Well, the response that we are to have is indeed because of God's great faithfulness recorded for us in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. Here's the inheritance I'm looking forward to, the Lord. I'm hoping in Him. Because you see, troubles come and they're really troubling. And the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. And the Bible says even God sends them. But it says you don't look to someone else for help. from the troubles that God has sent, you go to the same one, the God who loves you, even when He sends this to you. And you read down a few more verses in Lamentations 3, and you read that beautiful statement in Lamentations 3 verse 31. The Lord will not cast off forever. Though He causes grief, yet He will show compassion according to the multitude of His mercies, for He does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. How can we apply this verse? It calls us to declare, the Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in Him. Remember that every one of us in our heart, we would wander off to be in any which direction as long as we're not content with just God. Is God enough? Is He good enough for you? Is He faithful enough for your troubles? Can you believe in God and nothing else? He is your inheritance, not money and properties and stock portfolios. He is your pleasure, not footballs and basketballs and TVs and ATVs. The Lord is my portion. I rejoice and hope in Him. The Lord is my true joy, my truest friend. When all other friends fail me, I still have the Lord as my friend. But you might say, I've tried trusting in God, and this is what I get for Him, pain and suffering and sadness, rejection. Membership in the kingdom of God that seems old-fashioned and outdated in a high-tech, fast-paced world. This is what I get for believing in this kind of a God. Remember who this kind of a God is. The only one, the God who is your portion. The faithful God whose mercies are new every morning. He is the God with eternal faithfulness that cannot fail. You might say, oh, there was a day when I was comforted and strengthened by God, but I don't feel that today. I'm discouraged. I don't know how to face tomorrow. We don't have to face tomorrow today. That's tomorrow. All you have to face is today. And how are you going to face today? God gives you mercies new every day. You don't need God's blessings from yesterday. They're no good to you today. You can remember them, but they don't help you today. You need His mercies now. And tomorrow, there's new challenges, new grief, new difficulties to face. And God will not disappoint us. He'll give us new mercies for tomorrow when we get there. Now we just need what He's given us today. Give us this day our daily bread. The grieving Christian is comforted that God's great faithfulness is greatly applied to us in every way that we need it. And so we respond in faith. You know, in 1943, there was a minister in this church who married two young kids, or people, named Mr. and Mrs. Buddy and Edna Huckman. That minister gave them, of course, a marriage certificate, and on that marriage certificate, there were many different Bible verses printed on its pages that came from the publisher that made these things. But there was a verse that this minister thought, Reverend K.J. Stubbe, for those of you who might know or remember him, this minister thought there was another verse that was important to put on there. And so he wrote down in hand Psalm 119, 105. And if you go there in the Bible, you read this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is what will guide us in the journey of this life. This is what shaped Edna in her life, and it's what shapes you and me as well as God's people. And whenever you doubt, all you have to do is open to God's word every morning. There it is, new mercies. New compassions, new faithfulness from God for that day. His faithfulness is great. Therefore, I hope in Him. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, You who are the comfort of those who sorrow and support of the weary, we know You do not delight in grieving or afflicting Your children. We pray that You'd look down in tender love and compassion upon Your servants in this bereaved household whose joy has been turned into mourning. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they may not faint
under your fatherly chastening, but may find in you their strength and refuge through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We'll turn now to hymn 78 and sing the blessing that we live under God's wings and we trust in His faithfulness. It's in the chorus. Notice those words that we trust in God's truth and faithfulness.